This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to an expanded WSMIRadio.com version of my interview with Terry Plummer of the Plummer Funeral Home as we talk about some of the challenges in the industry right now between the pandemic and other concerns with people simply not being prepared to leave this earth. That's on this edition of Around Montgomery County on WSMIRadio.com. All right, folks, we are talking to Terry Plummer at the Plummer Funeral Home in Litchfield, and historic times in many aspects of American life, and certainly historic times in the business of mortuary science and funeral homes. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Sean, thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, let's talk about the challenges of COVID-19 from a technical aspect. I know I had a conversation with you in the early days of the pandemic. Just as far as what you do, boy, it really has tapped into your education as far as getting through the process, whether it's cremation, embalming, what have you. It has certainly come with some risks to folks in this business.
It has, Sean. And probably the biggest challenge or change we've seen, evening visitations have been substantially cut back. We're doing a lot more of all-in-one-day services. Instead of maybe an hour, we go 2 hours because we've got these big families that have a lot of family and friends and want an opportunity for people to come by and pay their final respects. So that's affected the funeral side of it, full traditional funerals. The cremation side, we still have families that come in, have a private family visitation, or they'll may have visitation and a funeral, and then we go to the crematory, and then we get back. Family might keep ashes. They might bury them on the family plot at the cemetery. Since we've gotten through with having the, only 10 can come to the service, we got past that, the shutdowns, as I'll call it, and, the mask mandates, whether they're on or off. And probably the biggest challenge or learning curve is just every family that comes in the door has said, Terry, we really need to have a mask mandate. We've got a family member that's got a weak immune system, or we just want to be protected. I've even just recently had a family that had if you're not vaccinated, don't come in. And we post that sign at our door, and it actually got ripped down by a upset family member. So it's created some tension with people and with the public. We just got rules. We're just trying to follow them. Hugh Satterley and his folks over at the health department have been on top of it. And one of the other big challenges we've had is we have a person that's passed away. A family member comes down with COVID. We postpone that service to a certain date. Another family member comes down. We postpone that service. And we've had some of those that have gone almost a month to the day before we got them done. So we've learned to adapt and roll and change. And just asking people, what do you expect? What do you want? We don't have some rules. The health department's got some rules. You want folks wearing a mask, not mask, free-range chickens, what do you want? So that's been the big learning curve with all of us, I think. The nursing homes, the hospital, the first questions we asked now, did Mr. or Mrs. Jones have COVID? Is this a COVID death? So we're always careful when we go out, on those calls or house call. Our hospice nurses are doing a great job out there. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to keep everybody safe, sound, and protected.
I can't imagine what a pressure cooker it was, especially in the early days, when people weren't sure how long this thing was going to last.
Yeah.
Well, and they put off services indefinitely, and all of a sudden, you have more and more people. You're just kind of, this isn't exactly a business made for a hold button, and you had a lot of folks just like, we're going to have it later when we can have more people. I imagine you had to you were getting to the point, hey folks, we got a fish or cut bait.
Yeah, well, and it has put a lot of pressure on funeral homes. On a good day, people were postponing. So, well, you know, we're going to have our family reunion this summer, Fourth of July weekend or whatever. And now it's like, well, you know, it's February, and I think we're just going to wait till family can reconvene. And then you get this backlog of services. The real problem in the quagmire that's come about it is everybody wants to go to the weekend, and then the vault company, those people, I mean, everybody's been affected. I mean, it's just trickled down layers of consequences and situations. So the vault companies are pressurized to meet the demand of the funeral homes, trying to meet the demand of families. And it's put a lot of pressure on them for equipment, staffing, and the cemeteries. And so now we're incurring some large overtime weekend fees. They're thinking, well, that'll subside that. To some extent, it has. At the end of the day, you still have people that say, no, Terry, we'd really like to have that. And okay, instead of 11, can we bump you to 1 or 2 and just try to help the vault company move assets around?
The supply chain and employee strain issues, labor strain, certainly this business has not been immune to that.
No, it hasn't. We've got those people in funeral service that are reaching, you know, retirement age, and they're stressed out, and they're saying, you know what, we're just going to do this. You know, some of these guys are in gals, we're only, you know, 63 or 64, and their financial advisor said, hey, you get 80% of your money now. You know, this would be probably a good time to retire, right when we need them. And our young people coming into the profession are simply not trained and educated like guys and gals in my era, because the schools teach to a test now, national exam, versus actually being taught the craft. So there's that problem coming into the business and trying to get the new help on board and educated. We just got some people are just simply leaving the profession, saying, you know, too stressful, I just can't deal with this. And as I jokingly say around here, Sean, there's days I feel like I deserve a doctorate of psychiatry or psychology up on the wall, just because of the problems in trying to work with everybody, and it's been very challenging.
Well, I look at some of these obituaries, and we read obituaries on the air, and it's so hard not to tell some of the greater stories about some of these folks. Like, I, you know, ran into one of the obits. There was a fellow who developed coin changer technology, and you know, people involved in the Mercury program, and just unbelievable stories.
Yep.
And there are some unbelievable people that have passed through here, and it had to be difficult, obviously, for the families. But I imagine for you, okay, we're not going to have services for this individual. Are there only 10 people can be here? That had to be pretty tough. Some people who really deserved to be memorialized.
It was, and especially for our veterans, because we were having difficulty getting the military units out. You know, we don't rely on our veteran service organizations like we once did, because they're struggling. Our local VFW here in Litchfield still comes to bat when they can. And of course, especially in the winter when we got snowbirds and people leaving, and it just eats away at those assets. You know, the National Guard, the Navy Reserves, Scott Air Base, you know, sending out 2 people. And especially in this area, we got some of those Scott Air Base people that were officers, you know, colonels and majors, and were entitled under the rules that they get a full military funeral of, you know, 6 pallbearers and color guard squad and rifle and, you know, the folding of the flag and the presentation. A lot of those people were denied that under the pretense of because of COVID. And I think probably the most despised term in society today as well, because of COVID, we can't, you know, it's really been a frustrating problem. I know up on the state level, you've got, you know, we push a lot of paper at the funeral homes. People need to understand that it's just not, it's also the administrative side that's been a constraint. And when you got the state of Illinois not functioning and everybody working from home, and nobody can get to the office or really wants to get back to the office, I don't care if it's at the city hall, the county level, or the state level, or the federal level, things move like molasses on a cold January day. It just comes to a stand. It's been very, very frustrating. Even insurance companies, you call, as Big Ed says, 1-800-GOD-HELP-YOU, and you hope somebody will take the call, and you'll hope you get the forms, and you'll hope that they'll make that payment and take care of that claim in a timely manner. And so it's been frustrating for families that it's all the trickle down, as Ronald Reagan said, the trickle down economics of things. And it's trickle down, irregardless of its economics or not, it's a trickle down because I need you and we need you guys down here to be doing this. And in order for me to get this done, I need you over here to take care of this for us. It's been frustrating. COVID has been used as a great excuse for not getting anything done, and that's one of Terry Plummer's isms.
Well, I look at what you've endured, and it doesn't take much thought or imagination to understand that there are some significant operating costs here.
Well,
and all of a sudden, when you have, okay, we're just going graveside, we're not doing this, and we're not going to, obviously they're paying less. It has had to be a major hit in the coffers.
It has. When you can't perform services, you can't charge for them. So I think funeral homes in general have done a Jim Dandy job of making sure families are taken care of. They're absorbing what they can. At the end of the day, you know, there's still a family needs to be served and services rendered. Whether all those services get rendered or not is the other thing. We've got a lot of people out there that have done some phenomenal creative things. If one thing COVID has done is allowed service providers in general a way of getting her done, figure it out, get it done, make it happen. Even when you got people who don't want to cooperate, we've seen it on many levels, and not just in funeral service. It's just watching the restaurant people, watching this, you know, those service providers, you know, those people we rely on every day to make the world go around. It's been interesting, educational, and frustrating all in the same breath.
Well, the one thing I see over and over again, memorials to the funeral home. In other words, the money's not there, the arrangements, the plan isn't there to pay. And obviously, this is not a 501(c). You can't do that forever. And it just, I know you talk about insurance and people just being prepared for the very basics of leaving this earth.
Back in high school, we had this class called Consumer Ed, and Bert Holloway taught it here at Litchfield. And one thing you got to have life insurance. Okay. I mean, you were taught that. And as generations have come, that's not been so much emphasized on. And that emphasis has changed from, well, you don't have to have life insurance. Your employer will provide that for you. Well, that's all well and good. At the end of the day, those jobs are gone, moved, Mexico, whatever, and now there's no benefits. And what's it take to get people to be responsible? You know, they learn this lesson when they have to walk through it because of the pain of dealing with the financial end of it. And I don't care if it's the simplest of services. If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. So I really want to strive, and this has been one of my chants, is folks, you got to have life insurance. Don't leave your family in a pickle. All you're doing is adding to the pain and the stress level for them. And I know it's easy for me to sit back here and say, well, you know, plumber, that's okay. No, at the end of the day, you got to be responsible for your family. And that old Boy Scout motto, just like, be prepared. You got to take care of your family. And, you know, any of our area life insurance agents, they've got plans. There's, plans through associations. Every funeral home sells prepaid burial insurance or offers funeral trust or some way to plan or save that money. The problem is you can't rely on the employer to consistently and constantly offer that benefit. And then if they do leave, it's not A, portable, meaning you can't take it with you, or if it is, you're not going to be able to afford it. So if you're over 45, you can't get whole life, so now you're stuck with getting term life. That's all well and good, but those have limits on them. They expire at 10 years or 20 years. I've got that issue right now. I had a 20-year term life myself, cover business things, and that's expired. And now that I'm 60, I'm having a tough time getting that replaced, you know, or much better situation. But, you know, I've got that problem. I need this, but I can't get this because now I'm of my age. So, and I want to stress to folks, you don't have to go out and get this $250,000, $500,000 plan, which a lot of people are happy to sell because there's commission involved and all that. And that's all well and good. At the end of the day, you know, you got the funeral and you got a plan for your family's being able to buy groceries and pay bills. And so it's above and beyond the funeral cost. It's a 3 or 5 month or 6 month buffer to allow your family to regroup and regather and still be able to pay the bills. So yeah, I'm one champion it and throwing it out there, but you know, families will come in and the first thing is, no, the plumber, we ain't got the money. It's the first things out of our mouth sometimes, even when I go to the home or nursing home or hospital. Terry, we ain't, you know, mom, dad ain't got no money. How are we gonna do it? Well, folks, how are we gonna do this? Well, you know, we'll go to GoFundMe. You know, we'll do GoFundMe. Well, good luck with that. I've never seen that really work. Or we'll do the memorials. But the problem is sometimes the memorials don't get to where they're supposed to be. So it's a problem. And so therefore, a lot of funeral homes have had to adopt the Walmart credit policy. And I kind of get a funny look when I mention that. But it's, you know, with Walmart, you pay for your purchases before you leave the store. Or, you know, use the credit card or whatever, it's paid for when you walk out the door. And same way with services, especially small town funeral homes. You know, some funeral homes continue to do cash advancing, pay for the grave opening fees, the flowers, the, you know, those items that are being taken care of so the family doesn't have to worry about it. A lot of that stuff's up front these days with some of these firms, unless it's a prepaid funeral and there's money there to cover it. But everybody strives, and at the end of the day, every funeral director, I think, is forced to work with families because, as my dad used to say, well, son, I guess we're going to put the pencil to it, figure it out, you know. And there's that saying out there in the business, well, everything's negotiable. To a certain point, margins are tight in every business. And, you know, now with this new onset and wave of inflation that's being trickled down from, you know, the people that make our register books and cards and caskets and vaults and flowers and everything else that gets affected, including salaries and insurance and property taxes and workman's comp and you name it, on down that line, that whatever it takes to keep that business functioning day to day. Every year, you know, we sit down, well, more so, you know, every 6 months or a few months now, we're looking at, okay, what's the adjustment going to be, where are we at? And we have a very tight credit policy. We've had to adapt that and adopt it.
We can't have this happen repeatedly. I have to think a big part of the quality of life in this town is when someone passes on, almost like in that our town kind of vision, a circle of life and everything, that a local funeral home, family funeral homes where people know people in this area is a big part of the quality of life. And I have to think long term, if people don't get it together, it's a threat. It's a threat because I know there are the big mega conglomerates that get bigger all the time. If you want to hold on to the precious natural resource that is, I'm using that not in a non-technical way, but the precious resource it is, the local family funeral home, you need to invest and prepare to keep it around 10, 20 years, especially as we're seeing some of these funeral homes hand off to the next generation, and the next generation decides if they want to stay in the family business.
What you're seeing is, you know, just look at the local pharmacy issues. local pharmacies 10 years ago to what we got now. You know, we've got some families that are strong. Sullivan's, for instance, family owned and operated. Medicaid ruined a lot of pharmacies because of the way the state does business, or did business, past tense, and it just put such a crippling effect on them for cash flow. You know, you're expecting, you know, you're a little small business guy, and your shingle might be hanging out there, and everybody's like, Joe's pharmacy, he's rolling the dough, he's got his own business, he's doing good. They ain't got a clue that Joe's got to go buy pharmaceutical supplies and pay for it all up front, and then have to wait months to get reimbursed. It's crippling. At the end of the day, they'll say, is this worth it anymore? And shut the doors. Or sell your intellectual property to Super Pharma or whoever. Same way in the funeral business. It just gets to a point where, it's going to take me X amount of funerals to make it. Gee, do I eat or be eaten? And that's going on every day now. We fully expect 2022 to be a year of merger mania and acquisitions, just because we've got a lot of guys that are just saying, I think I'm going to bow out, and they can't buy this, find a suitable person that even wants to even buy. You got that market. You got people who don't want to go in business. So you deal with a regional consolidator or whoever that hopefully will take over the best interest of your business and your community and go from there.
Well, I know the most brutal battleground in this country since the 1860s came and went is probate court. And it's well documented how people should have their wills together. But it seems like, at least at a minimum, take care of the simple thing of, I want to be buried, I want to be cremated, here's where I want, here's how I want to be buried, I know it. As much as we like to think people fight over money and families are torn apart by that, I have seen, she would have wanted to be buried here, or she would have wanted to go there, or she wouldn't have wanted that. And I obviously, you're on the front lines of these arguments. It's just at least at a minimum, take care of the basics.
Yep. We, on the pre-need side of things, we have this conversation. And I always encourage families, even when there's the death of the spouse, and you still have a spouse at home, is the important thing, either irregardless, is get mom or dad, mom and dad, or Aunt Nellie, or whoever, Uncle Joe, power of attorney for health care and power of attorney for financial matters. That's a big start. That saves a lot of problems right there. Getting a will is very important. As I tell people, if you don't want somebody handling your affairs that you don't want to, just don't get a will. Just that very thing will happen. You've got a family member that you don't want having anything to do with your affairs, your business. Just sit around and don't do anything, and that'll happen. So that's what our attorneys are in business for. And wills and estates it's just a smart thing to do. And when you do it, you'll feel much better. It'll give you a peace of mind. I've got that done, and I'm glad that's off my shoulders, and my kids won't have to worry, or my nieces and nephews won't have to worry, or whatever that situation is out there. If probate court can be avoided in a lot of instances just by making sure things are a benefactor to whoever you want that. Now, I'm not here giving legal advice. I need to clarify that, but we have that attention, and we just working with all of our local attorneys on these estates and matters of probate. There's been a couple of cases, Sean, where we've actually forced the estate open because nothing was getting done. 2 years of phone calls, and it's like, what's going on? What's happening? Under Illinois law, being a first class creditor, we were allowed to do that. And we forced it open, and it worked out, and at the end of the day, it's like, this is done now, and this is resolved, and here we go.
close it with a couple of things here. One of the things that impresses me, and again, people always underestimate the jobs of people they encounter. I know I talked to someone from the street department today and talked about plugging water main breaks, and it's like, no, this is a lot more than a guy down there with a shovel. And the same thing here, you guys, you're like a chemist dealing with chemicals. You're a counselor, you're a host, you're crowd control. When someone is there and they think they're going to spend 32 and a half minutes by the casket and stall everyone in line, you know, that whole velvet, firm but velvet touch, kind of keeping everything moving and making sure you have an effective 2, 3, or 4 hour visitation or service. There's a lot of disciplines, and reading a crowd, being a shoulder to lean on, and yet, you know, almost like a judge or an umpire, you don't get too involved. You're not going to cry yourself or anything. You really are a jack of all trades.
With a lot of hats to wear, and at the end of the day, it's about giving good service to the families that have called you to do so. You know, I'm in the generations deep in some families, you know, celebrating many years here. And I was 24 when I bought the place and was really questioned about my doing so. And quote, Terry, what'd you go back to Litchfield for? You know, it was my hometown. You know, I was bred, born, and raised here. So, and my grandpa plumber and grandma plumber had a little neighborhood grocery store. My dad was a carpenter and had the lumber yards. My brother Bob, RP Lumber, that's family business here in Litchfield and all over. And so we worked hard and tried to do well. It's been fun and enjoyable serving our communities. Shauna, in closing today, I just kind of wanted to bring up one other really important issue, and that's with our area of veterans. You know, my dad was a World War II guy. I didn't serve. I wanted to go in the Air Force, but right out of mortuary school, that didn't work out. But we always want to make sure our veterans are taken care of. And, you know, this all boils down to finances, and it's just a simple case of these guys, this is part of their entitlement for their honorable discharge and service to our country. We've got two national cemeteries at our doorstep, Camp Butler at Springfield and Jefferson Barracks down in South County, St. Louis. And whether you want a burial or cremation, you know, they've got rites of interment there. And from the burial side, probably right about a $5,000 benefit by the time a grave is supplied for not only the spouse, but the surviving spouse, as long as they don't remarry, they'll be buried there. Adult dependent child, outside burial container, grave opening fees, markers, and as long as there's somebody around to mow the grass and the government's got some cash, perpetual care. So I want to make sure that the folks are aware of that. And also, people need to understand that the VA does not pay entirety for funerals. We got a lot of folks go, well, you know, plumber, dad was in the Army, they'll pay for that. No, there's certain benefits, and they got to qualify. So I just want to make sure that they understand it. There's some of our veterans that still have what the old serviceman's life insurance, and some of those policies are still in effect. But again, that's all part of getting the house in order and wills, and so everybody knows where everything's at. And I really appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to the you and the WSMI listening audience very much.
Well, I appreciate it. I think I'm going to hit one more note on the veteran front. I think that's another story that's changed. I think of that World War II generation, that greatest generation, like your father. They grew up in the Depression. They grew up with less, 40 years after they were out, a lot of them still fit in their uniform. And I know society changed a little bit. Vietnam with the Agent Orange things, Agent Orange and other issues. A lot of those guys, as you know better than anybody, aren't going to live into their 90s. And we're losing them to Agent Orange or Agent Orange related causes and other things. That's certainly, I guess, a change in itself.
you know, we always try to make sure the families are taken care of with their benefits. And Dave Stromat and his group over at the Montgomery County Veterans Assistance Office just knocks it out of the park. I went to school with Dave, great guy, career Marine. And there's a resource there that folks can go to and tap into. And, you know, Sandy Lighthizer and her crew, even Pete Duncan's group over at Macoupin County, because we're right on the county line. Terry, we can't find Dad's discharge, and we'll make that call, and we'll tell them what's going on, and we get that information. We're able to get those documents. And not just anybody can get those documents. Those are secured, locked down, and you better have a good excuse why you need it. So another protection in place for our veterans.
Terry, thank you so much, and all the best to you in the months and years to come.
Thank you, Sean.
I hope you enjoyed this extended version of my conversation with Terry Plummer from the Plummer Funeral Home. Ah, so much to say, so many questions, so little airtime at times with some of these more multifaceted subjects. I thank you for checking it out, and we'll continue to bring you extended cuts on WSMIRadio.com.